RNZ National, it's Friday afternoon, and that means it's time for Critter of the Week. I'm joined by Nicola Tookie from the Department of Conservation. Hello, Nick.
Kia ora, Jesse. How are you?
Good. You and I both received some goodies today. Here, Moko Moko no Aotearoa, a poster featuring New Zealand's beautiful lizards, direct from Predator Free NZ.
Look, honestly, that just absolutely made my week. Beautiful, beautiful poster. They've done, so the Predator Free New Zealand Trust have also, they did one a while ago on New Zealand's native birds.
Yeah.
And it's really nice to see them featuring our beautiful, beautiful lizards because, you know, we say we're the land of birds, but actually it's our herpetofauna, if you're looking for the technical name, our skinks and geckos that are the incredibly diverse and weird and odd. And actually, so first of all, if you're looking for a Christmas present for your fellow nature nerd, go to the Predator Free New Zealand website and purchase one of these posters. They're stunning.
Yeah, actually, you can do the bird poster and the lizard poster for $40, I see.
Oh, there you go. There you go. That's a stocking filler and a half, isn't it? So go to, that's part of your nature shopping list for the year. And there was a wonderful article in, I want to say North and South maybe. I'll get in trouble here because it'll be either the metro or North and South.
Yeah, what was it?
And it was about the lizards that are found, the geckos that are found in particular, out on Motunau Island, so just up the road from me and a little bit out to sea. And
what's the name of the island, sorry?
Motunau. I'm sure you will have heard it as Motunau. But basically, since 1967, we've been able to report and record lizards out there. And there's a wonderful story about how the lizards, so here's the thing to know. The closest relatives to the geckos you find here in New Zealand are found in tropical areas, and they live for maybe 3 to 4 years, right? So not long lived. The ones on Motunau Island, because the monitoring has gone for so long, there's one there called Houdini, I think, Harriet Houdini or something like that, and she's 53 years old.
Oh, wow.
So it's that incredible thing that happens here whereby because we are that temperate climate, our wildlife takes a lot longer, which also means it's in a lot more trouble, right? Because they are longer lived, which means they take longer to mature, which means they take longer to breed. They might not have as many babies because it's a bit cold. But yeah, so these things can live for decades and decades and decades and still keep going, which is quite incredible.
I love it. And you've actually got your eyes on our feathered friends this week because you've done a major release.
Yes, I am very, you know, things. Yeah, I like to get to a Friday and instead of feeling exhausted by all the meetings, I like to think of things to celebrate. And last Saturday, I am very proud to celebrate that our Kakariki Karaka team, so orange-fronted parakeets found here, again, not far from me, up in the valleys of Arthur's Pass in Horonui, at the head of the Horonui River. Rarest forest bird, as I understand it, in the country. So they're those beautiful little Kakariki parakeets, but these ones have this blaze of orange and then yellow across the top of their beaks instead of perhaps the red crowns that you might be more familiar seeing. Anyway, in a lot of trouble because they are living in those beach forests and they've sort of eked out an existence and hung in there. They've twice been declared extinct, actually, and they've hung in there in the colder sort of valleys where we think the rats can't quite get to because these are whole nesting birds. The rats and the stoats climb up the trunks of the beach and they just go in the front door, eat all the eggs and chicks, potentially the mother, and then out again. So they're really hard to hang on to. And thanks to the work, not just of my team and the rangers and Ngaitahu, who we work in partnership with us on, but also the Isaac's Conservation Trust, who basically captive bred enough of these that we can start spreading them around, we released 20 Kakariki Karaka into the Brook Waimarama Sanctuary, which is near Nelson, like a fenced sanctuary, 700 hectares. And I've been checking in all week and the team are reporting that the birds are actually staying right in the middle of the sanctuary and they've got good access to food.
I'm so pleased. Kind of
living their best lives in there, which is really, really exciting. And just to kind of put it in perspective, there were so many kakariki of all species in Canterbury sort of 100 or more years ago, that they were basically became a farm pest because they'd come out of the beech forest and just plough through everybody's fruit and seeds and all that kind of thing. So, and people on the West Coast described stuffing their mattresses with parakeet feathers. So, you know, it's not taken that long for things to get pretty dire. So it's really, really nice to be part of a team that's turning that around.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, we're doing it all today. You've got lizards, birds, and now, I was going to say insects, let's call them invertebrates. And man, I don't know what to make of this week's Critter of the Week. I don't even know how to look at this photo. You can check it out for yourself at rnz.co.nz/Jesse. Don't even know which way up it goes, Nick.
Well, hopefully the spider does, but you're right. They are a weird looking creature, right? The tailed forest spider.
Yeah, not that I don't love it, by the way. I love it very, very much.
Yeah, no, they're just very, and well, they're challenging to try and work out what on earth they are, I suppose. Yeah. But what we do know is that they are a spider, and their Latin name, if you are into your Latin, is Arachnura feridae, and we think that's, well, we know that Arachne is obviously spider. And Ura equals tail. And so they have these weird, long, kind of flat-looking tails, or the females do. And they're from a really interesting genus. So there are only 13 spiders in the Arachnura, or tailed spider kind of group or genus. And so overseas they might be called scorpion-tailed spiders, drag-tailed spiders, scorpion spiders, but they aren't scorpions. And the only species found here in New Zealand is the Feridae. We don't know why they have a tail when other spiders don't, but we know that they can wiggle it. So if you look at the, and I know it is definitely one of those critters where I would recommend looking at the photographs, you know, there's some thinking around is it, that she might be kind of trying to look like a leaf wiggling around.
I would love to know from listeners what this reminds them of, because I feel like there's a fictional character. If there's one picture of the underside, which I'm looking at the moment, and it reminds me so much. Is there a famous character who got one eye and their head sort of tails into a kind of a nightcap shape? It's kind of like the who is those kids in Despicable Me? What were they called? The little things? Minions. Kind of like a minion with a pointy head or something.
Yeah, they are definitely very unusual. I'm not sure if I would call them a minion, but they're weird looking things, aren't they? I
mean, yeah, it reminds me so strongly of something, but I don't know. It's something fictional, but. I'm sorry. All you can do, really, listeners, is take a look and maybe suggest something yourself.
Yeah, and so, because it would be great to hear. It would be great to hear what people they think about it. But they kind of also look a bit like a hermit crab sitting inside a shell, you know, like that big long kind of.
Yep.
They are very different in terms of the males and the females. And the females have this also, so not only do the females look weird, but their egg kind of laying situation is also rather bizarro. So the females stay in the middle of their web all of the time. The males are 6 times smaller than the females, and they just hang out on the edge of the web, and scientists think probably just wait there until they think it's a good time to get in and make their move. And I imagine if you're 6 times smaller than a rather large spider, you probably are maybe dicing with death if you're not quite purposeful about your visit anyway.
Purposeful, that's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, well, because lots of spiders do engage in sexual cannibalism, which is usually after mating, the female says, thank you very much, and instead of perhaps lighting a cigarette, she eats the male.
Yeah, it's a little corner of Tinder most of us stay away from.
So the females lay these eggs in these long cases which hang down from the top of the web, and they seem to be designed to look like twigs. So she's designed to look like a leaf. She's basically making herself her very own tree of life. And so they're kind of brown, and they sort of, hey, I think they have sort of forest detritus attached to it to make it look quite real. And she can hang a dozen of these tubes, each of which contains 50 eggs, in the top of her web. So if you think about your traditional spider's web, she basically cuts out a section at the top and just hangs these, almost like, I'm thinking, because it's a windy Norwest day here in North Canterbury, and what I don't have, because it would drive me mad in this climate, are those chimes that hang down.
Little spider wind chimes.
Yeah, little wind chimes that look like twigs. What I think is kind of interesting, though, is it took 100 years from the first scientific description of a female-tailed forest spider for there then to be a male described. And it's really interesting because sometimes the dimorphism between them, between a male and a female, is rather kind of out there. And I had an example of that recently when some of my ranger team, I think we talked about it, took me over to Kaitereti Spit with some others, and in the sand dunes in the Pingar were these catapult spiders they'd been monitoring. We didn't find any females, which are obviously the big black ones with the big red blotch on them. But the males are tiny, and they're like little black and white, pretty looking little things. And you would swear if you didn't know that they were two different species, so perhaps that's why. They also have, so they're found in native forests throughout New Zealand. They're sometimes found in people's gardens, and they have an orb web like many spiders, which they have close to the ground. It's interesting because all of the tailed spiders conserve those silk proteins, because you have to think about the web that they shoot out or that they spin is protein. They conserve that special silk protein by eating their old webs before they spin a new one. So they're very good recyclers.
Great recyclers, yeah.
And they, scientists using radioactive labelling, however this, I mean, this is how you end up with Spider-Man, isn't it? On the old silk webs, have found that it takes roughly 30 to 40 minutes from the time that she has ingested the old web to spun out the new web. So that's quite impressive.
Yeah, incredible. I'm going to ask people now to really go and check this out on the web, rnz.co.nz/Jesse. I've done a terrible job of describing it. Nicola's done a pretty good job, but we really need to just have a look at this thing and tell us what you think. 2101 is the text number with your views on it. And Nicola, how would you rate the attractiveness on a scale of 1 to 10?
It's maybe a 4. It's too, I can't really rate it on as attractive because it's just so weird. As a feminist, though, I would say one thing I do like about spiders is that the female basically stores different male spider sperm from different individual male spiders in special little pockets to fertilize her eggs. And because she might mate with more than one male, she chooses which one is the best provider of genes.
Try before you buy.
Nailed it.
Not sure. Hey, thanks, Nick. Have a great weekend.
You too, Jesse.
Nicola Tookie from Doc. This has been Critter of the Week.